Well, hi there, and welcome to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We have spent the last couple of weeks looking at the Ten Commandments, and it's been an extraordinary journey. In spite of all of our time together, I imagine there are still questions that arise, and there are several that come to mind in my own mind as well. So we're going to take some time today, and again on Monday, with Pastor Chris in studio, to take a look at some of those questions that this last series has brought about. A brief review and a look at some questions surrounding the Ten Commandments. In studio, here's Pastor Chris Gordon, along with myself once again, for today's program.
When we're enticed by something, and then when you entertain and are enticed by that, and you've coveted, the plan goes into action and becomes fully revealed outwardly in what is done. And if it's not stopped, and this is why sin is so serious. This is why sin, the Bible says, don't play with sin. And we all do it. This is not saying that we don't do it. We all do this. But when sin is played with, and when sin takes a root, and that desire is strongly there, and then it's built up into the heart, and it continues to be practiced, it leads to the hardening of that heart. So that then there's no, what the apostle will say, you have a seared conscience with regard to sin. And when that heart is fully hardened, and then you run off into sin, and sin fully grown destroys people. You don't have to look at that. You can just look in the world and see that, how sin destroys people's lives. So the 10th commandment becomes this great exposure of the breaking of all of the commandments. That's really why I said there's such a coherence to the law. It's beautiful. You could see the inspiration of the Spirit and how he crafted the law of God and what he did here. And it's helpful to look at what's been outlined. I think one little great story is the story of Ahab and Naboth. Remember his Naboth's vineyard. And remember, boys and girls, that story you've read in 1 Kings, let me just read a few passages from it so you see what this looks like in action. It came to pass after these things that Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel next to the place of Ahab, king of Samaria. So Ahab spoke to Naboth saying, give me your vineyard so that I may have it for a vegetable garden. It means this sounds so goofy for a king to be saying that. I need vegetables, right? It's near my house. And for it, I'll give you a better vineyard. Or if it seems good to you, I'll give you money for it. But this tells us, you know, it's interesting. Ahab had all these palaces. And this one vineyard, who when he walked out on his palace there, he looked at this one vineyard that was really beautiful. And he started saying, I got to have that vineyard. Ahab wanted that vineyard. And what Ahab did is he set his eyes on the vineyard. And then as that desire was conceived, it gave birth to all kinds of sin. In almost every circumstance, whatever does not belong to us always looks better. It's really a remarkable thing about the human heart. I'll come back to that. What is desirable? What's desirable is what we don't have. God gives us all kinds of good gifts to enjoy. And if we were always satisfied in them, we wouldn't always want more. We always want. Excitement lies in the thing that we don't have yet. John Boyce once said, the poor man wants many things, the rich man wants everything. We all have this problem. There's a difference between temptation and the practice of evil desires. In some sense, that looking out at the vineyard, the temptation came outside of Ahab, right? And what God recognizes, there's a fundamental difference here, that we avoid entering into all forms of temptation. That's his call. Temptation is not sin when it originates outside of us. Temptation becomes sin when we entertain and welcome into the boardroom a sinful desire of that heart, and then we act on it. That's the difference. Covetousness arises from a lust in the heart for something that will seem to provide more happiness. It will have a greater fill of pleasure for us. And that's the case here with Ahab. Ahab offers to buy the vineyard. Naboth says, "The Lord forbid. This is the inheritance of my fathers. I'm not giving you my vineyard." So Ahab went into his house, sullen and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. He said, "I won't give you the inheritance of my fathers." And he laid down on his bed and he turned around his face and he would not eat food. And what a pathetic little guy here. You know, he's crying because he doesn't have the vineyard. He knows he can't acquire the land. He knows the law. He knows he has no right to it. He sulks on his bed. The desire was so strong, he couldn't get off his bed. Well, here comes the answer. Jezebel, what are you doing on your bed? I'll give you that vineyard. Since you don't have the courage, I'll go get that vineyard for you. Ahab did nothing. So, this nothing to stop this wickedness from Jezebel. He signs a letter with his name on it, even though his wife wrote it. Resulted from one covetous desire from Ahab's heart. Jezebel has this great court case. She brings false witnesses in, infects the whole community of Israel to slander Naboth, something terrible. And what's the outcome? They stoned Naboth and murdered him. Wow. You mean from one little boardroom in the human heart, it led to theft, eighth commandment, murder, sixth commandment, blaspheme, ninth commandment. You see how this all weaves together here, all from the boardroom of the human heart. In short, the rudder of the ship with one covetous desire led to murder, theft, bearing false witness against his neighbor, and his heart bowed before a covetous desire, breaking the whole law, especially the first, the second, the third, the sixth, the seventh, the eighth, the ninth, the tenth, all in one swoop. Sin is so deceptive. You know, there's a reason every morning we have to get up and ask the Lord to frame our minds correctly in the life of sanctification, in the life of following Christ, in the life of leading a life, because it just takes one little entertaining of a desire and your whole day is filled with it. That's what Paul was saying, "For I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had said, 'You shall not covet,' but sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness." What that's saying there is, it's helping us understand how sinful the heart is. Things look so attractive because God said no. Anyone knows this raising kids? We give the law. We say don't do this. And it's just astonishing how quickly it happens. That's the human heart. Jesus said, "Take heed and beware of covetousness." Luke 12. For one's life. Ever thought about what it means? One's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. In other words, think about that very carefully. Life doesn't come from those things. Deadness comes from those things. No, God gives us good gifts to enjoy. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about living for these things. I can accumulate thinking it will satisfy, but my life will never be satisfied and will never be supported through the things that I desire. Think about that. It was the very first thing that happened in the Garden of Eden. Remember? God had said, you shall not eat of the tree. And Satan comes in, oh, come on, look at it. Just look at it for a minute. Look at it. It looks really good, doesn't it? That tree didn't look any better than any other tree. But as soon as Satan, the law had come, and as soon as Satan had tempted, Eve began, remember what it says, listen to what it says. She saw the fruit, that it was pleasing to the eyes, and that it was desirable to make one wise. And then she took. That fruit became great because the desire was set on it. And what desires control the void of an empty heart? I think our Heidelberg is so great here that the will of God in the 10th commandment, think about this, that not even the slightest thought or desire contrary to any one of God's commandments should ever arise in my heart. Rather, with all my heart, notice again, we're right in the heart. Talk about heart religion. Rather, with all my heart, I should always hate sin and take pleasure in what is right. Is there anything mastering? You see how the law does its work? The law searches and tries us, and it shows that why was the law added? For transgressions, to show how great sin is. We just don't see this unless we ponder the law of God. John Trapp once said, a ship may be filled with silver even to the point of sinking, yet there may be space left to hold 10 times more. So a covetous man, though he has enough to sink him, yet he never has enough to satisfy him. A circle cannot fill a triangle, so neither can the world fill the heart of man. You know, the whole society preys on us on this. We're constantly being tricked into thinking that we need all these things to fulfill us. This happens in the Gordon home. I don't know how many times I've seen the MyPillow commercial. Have you seen that commercial? It's like that guy is always on the news. And we think, you know, we're not sleeping well. We need a MyPillow. A MyPillow is going to make us sleep better, you know. See what it does to us. No, it's not wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong to go buy a MyPillow. We did it. But we place all of our emotions and our desires and think of society, spends billions of dollars to work on the desires of the human heart to create what are false needs. They prey on our fears. They prey on our desires, our insecurities, our vulnerabilities, doing all they can to transform us and take us into a customer and a buyer. That's what happens in the world. Ultimately, we're constantly being exploited with the very problem that is exposed in the 10th commandment. Consuming, thinking we'll be happy. Consuming, thinking we'll be fulfilled. I think it was Pastor Contreras who said a few weeks ago, when Americans are depressed, they shop. Well, I'm going to get to the gospel. But there's a positive dimension to this, isn't there? What's always reinforced in Scripture in the positive dimension when it comes to something like the 10th? That's the beauty of God's commandments. They say, thou shalt not. But then you study the whole Scriptures and you come back and you realize there's a real positive dimension to this. And desires aren't always wrong. I want to make sure we understand that. But desire has to be controlled by God's word, doesn't it? The world and its desires will pass away. But whoever does the will of God will live forever. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Look at Jesus. All his life, he had no place to lay his head. When tempted to fulfill every desire, think about this, in the temptations in Matthew 4, to fulfill every desire contrary to the will of the Father, he didn't. Satan came along and said, you know what you can have right now? Glory. glory. I'll give you, just look at it. Take your eyes, Jesus, and look at all the kingdoms of the world. Think of the arrogancy of this. I'll give them to you right now. And Jesus said, get away from me, Satan. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Again, not all desires are bad. God gives us good gifts. We make decisions in life. But we don't live for those things, right? What Jesus was saying there is, my food, he was speaking of desire. My food is to do the will of my Father who sent me. What was that food? To give eternal life to you. And he was saying that I find the most satisfaction in doing my Father's will. One thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. So what is the positive dimension for us? It's contentment. That's difficult. No, this is it's a great stride in sanctification when you learn just the least bit of contentment. It's been a whole battle for me as a pastor. Contentment in this life. A recognition in this life that all your sufficiency is in Jesus, and in all your circumstances and in every situation, with everything we have comes from his fatherly hand, that he's going to care for us and he's going to provide for us, but that there's something bigger than us. Jeremiah Burroughs said in his little book on contentment, you are the spouse of Christ. What? One married to Jesus Christ and yet troubled and discontented? Have you not enough in him? Doesn't Christ your husband say to you, am I not better to you than 1,000 riches and comforts? Such comforts you murmur for one of? Has not God given you his Son, and he's given you all things? It's already yours. Why so discontented, O my soul? Right? I've learned, as Paul said, in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I've learned how to be both full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When we express contentment, this great mystery of sanctification, it's tough business. When we express contentment, we're demonstrating satisfaction in him. And he's glorified in our lives. Now, godliness, 1 Timothy 6, with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire, notice it, there it is again. It's just all over. Those who desire to be rich. It's not bad being rich. That's God's good gift to you if you're rich. And we're all rich in America, by the way. Those who desire it fall into temptation and a snare. And into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men into destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Notice that. A desire, a love. For which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness. And what was the end result? And pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue. Here's the goal. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. We'll come to Hebrews 13. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That is an amazing verse. You don't have to live with covetous desire because Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's the treasure of our hearts. And that's why I think the Heidelberg, you know, to close this tonight, when we look at the end of this and we think about in questions 115, just briefly, what it says there, if I can get there. Can those converted to God keep these commandments perfectly? No. Even the holiest in this life, who do you think is the holiest person in the Escondido URC? Should I ask? Who would that be? James Lund just put his hand up, so. Listen to this. Nevertheless, we have only a small beginning of this obedience. Nevertheless, with all seriousness of purpose, they do begin to live according to all, not only some of God's commandments. Well, since no one in this life can keep the Ten Commandments perfectly, why does God want them preached this way that searches us and tries us so pointedly? First, so that all our life we may more and more come to know our sinful nature. The part of sanctification is learning to see yourself as God has assessed you, and thus more eagerly to seek what from Him every day? Forgiveness. No one's up here, and no one in this building has kept all this perfectly. You need forgiveness, and you need righteousness in Christ. And so that, now listen to this, in this life, we may never stop striving and may never stop praying to God for the grace of the Holy Spirit, that we may be renewed more and more after God's image until after this life we reach our goal, perfection. This is what He wants. He wants us dependent and trusting Him for help. Everyone's in a different place in sanctification. We all expect everyone to be where we think we are, and somebody else thinks you need to be farther along than you are. Did you know that? That's the challenge of sanctification. The reality is, we all have made a small step in this, and we have daily dependence upon the Lord. But I want to close with this. Jesus said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger. And he who believes in me will never thirst." May Jesus be our delight. And when we have contentment and satisfaction in trusting Him, then we begin to make a small beginning in honoring the 10th commandment. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your good law to us. We recognize how needy we are. And we recognize, Lord, that by nature we are not a content people. We are a covetous people. We confess that together tonight. We're never satisfied with the situation in life we're in. We're always looking for something better and something more and something we think will make us more happy. And it doesn't satisfy. But we are so thankful for Christ. So thankful for righteousness and life. Let us find our life not in the abundance of sinful desires that we pursue, but let us enjoy the life we have given to us from the true bread who has come down from heaven, who has given life so that we might live abundantly. Thank You for training us in Your law, and help us, O Lord, to be a people who pursue righteousness and sanctification for Your praise and for Your glory. And thank You for forgiving all of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, you have been listening to Pastor Chris Gordon here today on Abounding Grace. If you have questions or comments about the program, maybe you would like to learn more about who we are, well, you're more than welcome to visit our website, agradio.org. That's agradio.org. If you have questions, well, address them to questions@agradio.org, and we'll have Pastor Chris answer them as best we can. We may even put it on the air. Again, agradio.org, or call 888-504-8805. Now, at that website, you will also find a few links to Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Follow us on any of those platforms that you frequently visit. And again, you can also listen to past programs as you visit agradio.org. www.abounding.org. And then come back and join us next time as we continue our studies in God's Word, Abounding in Grace. Until then, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.